Welcome to the Round 19, your Supercoach Coach podcast. I'm your host, Marcus, and I'm joined again this week by our podcast regulars, Mark or FB Donkey.
G'day, everyone.
And Faz.
Hey, guys.
We'll start off as we do every week by letting you guys know how we went on the weekend. I'm extra cheery. I scored 26.75, gave me a round ranking of 226, and I'm back up to the top 250, so 202nd at the moment, and I didn't get hit by Newman, so I'm seeming to be pretty damn lucky this year, and I'm looking to get into the top 100 by season's end, and looking to bring a premium onto my bench this week. Birchall looks pretty tasty at 400,000, so those are my plans. Mark, how did you go?
I scored 25.30 on the weekend, which in most weeks would be an absolutely massive score. And in previous seasons, I know that's been people's highest score for teams that have done really well. So, but that was enough to rise me about 230 places in the rankings, still outside the top 2,000, which is a bit disappointing compared to previous season's efforts. But to 2,000 and on the way up, I could still get a decent ranking by the end of the year. I didn't have any Hawks on the weekend, though, or Franklin was my only premium Hawk, so I really really should have been a great week for me. I did make a super trade that's looking genius at this stage. I traded Jack Riewoldt out to Lacroix, and that got me about 65 points on the first week, and Riewoldt's not playing this week, so should get even more points, and I'm really hoping for Lacroix to come home strong for the rest of the year. I know that both of us have still got a few trades left, Marcus, so we... We shouldn't do too badly. Faz, how are you going?
Yeah, well, the scores continue dropping as we go around the table. I've 24.77 this week, and I was playing Marcus in a league match, so got absolutely smashed. My ranking actually went up, though. I guess that's what happens when you're so far down. I went up another 340 spots, so inside the top 8,000 now, so slowly getting back. Had Pendlebury as captain, which I was pretty happy with. I would have been much happier if I had to go on Chris Judd with the captain this week. Absolutely killed it against Essendon. So, yeah, not doing too bad, but definitely thoughts have moved to season 2012 already. So,
I had Swanee as captain, and Swanee's just been killing me. I keep having the faith with him, but he's just not putting out these monster Supercoach scores anymore. So I think in the last 5 weeks I'll be looking elsewhere and look probably to Ablett. I don't have Judd, so that probably affected me on the weekend, but Ablett and Pendles look like pretty good captains for the last 5 or 6 weeks.
So we're going to spend this week's show looking at the injury to Chris Newman and the best options you have to trade in there, and as well as any problems that you might have to rectify in your forward line, of course, with the multi-buy round, Richmond, Sydney, Brisbane. Teams are going to be hit pretty hard, and Nick Riewoldt out, suspended for 1 week, might cause some headaches. So we'll look at a few options there in the high and low price bracket, but just before we start the show, just wanted to forecast for the next few weeks what we're going to be doing. Obviously, there's been less to talk about with the season. We've all done our upgrades and basically just watching our premium score at this stage of the season. Next week, we're hopefully getting Impromptu, who's currently first in this whole comp at the moment, and he's been doing brilliantly, pretty much unprecedented. He's been in the top 10 for such a long period of time, so very much looking forward to hearing from him. He's got a very unique strategy towards Supercoach, so very excited to have him on next week. And the week
Marcus, can I just say, if people are interested in asking questions to Impromptu, then I encourage you to go to the YSCC forums. There is a thread there in the weekly discussion topics where you can ask any questions you might want us to forward to him next week.
Alternatively, you could also send them, tweet them to at @your_sc_coach or at FB Donkey, which is Mark's account, either. And we'll try and get as many in as possible next week. And then after that, we'll probably have a season review right at the end of the year. We're going to spend 1 week looking at the 2012, so looking at future prospects and maybe a few kids we can get our research done. And we'll also spend one more show just before finals start to look at players to trade in those last four rounds, because we know that a lot of you out there are going for the league win, and you'll be pretty keen to get any edge over your opponents. So we'll take a look at that and any sort of league strategy, sort of like blocking in that show. So that's what's to come. I know there's not much, but there's a big month of podcasts ahead. So do keep tuned, and thank you for your continued patronage of our show. So we'll get on with it now. Obviously, Newman is out. I think that they're not too sure how long he's going to be out for, but it's looking like at least a couple. Is that what you guys are reckoning?
They honestly could not be any more vague, Marcus, with their description. They've said, obviously, he's not playing this week because of the bye. They said they're hoping to get him back by the end of the season. They said his injury doesn't require surgery, but it is a PCL. It's possible that he could be playing next week, but it's probably at least likely to be out for two or three games. And the most likely scenario is that he's out for three or four.
And it was a pretty bad time as well for the injury to hit, with it being the multi-bye round. There's quite a few other popular picks going to be missing, with Delidio, Adcock and Grundy all not playing this weekend.
So we're going to take a look at the best options that you have available to you this week. And hopefully, if you have any woes in the back line, that this segment will help you out. So we'll start with a guy who's dropped significantly in price in Sam Fisher from St. Kilda. He's at 418,000, obviously buy free. He's averaging 105.75 for the year. So he was the highest averaging backline player, but he's actually been overtaken by Heath Scotland following a 36 in round 16 against Port Adelaide, where he was tagged by Chad Corns and was a bit frustrated and gave away three free kicks against. But nonetheless, he's an absolute gun. He is in superb form, a contested marking machine, and he would be my number one pick to bring in if you didn't have him.
Were you not worried about the fact that he was subbed on the weekend, Marcus?
No, it probably gives me hope that he won't be subbed for the rest of the year. I don't think that they'll continue subbing the same play again and again, unless there's some sort of injury we don't know about, but I don't really think that's the case.
Yeah, I would take the same thing as well, Marcus. Baz?
Yeah, another advantage with Sam Fisher, I guess, would be St Kilda's spot on the ladder. They're sort of just made their way into the eight this week, and they're probably going to need to keep winning games if they want to solidify that spot. So they're not really going to have the luxury of those top four sides to rest a whole bunch of players in the last couple of weeks. So that's a positive. And also got Gold Coast coming up this week, so you'd imagine he's going to absolutely smash it against them.
Now, the next guy we're going to look at as scored 107 on the weekend, so he pretty much bottomed out, and that's Grant Birchall, 415,000, so similarly priced to Fisher, is averaging 95 for the year. With Suckling out, and I'm not sure how long, I don't know, do you guys know his injury prognosis on Suckling?
I think they said he's likely to return this week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it was between Birchall and Suckling, but he seems like a really good option. Obviously, Hawthorn backline is a really lucrative place to be in at the moment, and we've discussed quite a bit in the show that Hawthorn have a good run home. So definitely like Birchall as a pick. I think we did a Birchall v Suckling discussion a couple of weeks ago, so we have already covered him pretty recently.
I think Birchall is a bit of a point of difference. He's relatively unique compared to a lot of the other backmen, so in that sense would be a good pick if you have already got Fisher.
Yep, and I'll be looking to bring him in this week as my bench player, so I'm definitely excited.
How many premiums do you want, Marcus? I know you've got a fully premium side already. You're just trying to just fill up your bench with premiums as well, Matt.
Yeah, obviously lots of players are expecting players will be rested, and Nick Riewoldt gets suspended, and we've still got a few buys to contend with, so I'm hoping my bench player comes on and scores premium scores for me every single week, so and get a leg up that way. Unfortunately, most people don't have the luxury of being able to do that, but I've traded pretty tight this year, so I have the luxury of doing that. I don't think many are in that situation, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was just me being jealous with that comment, Marcus. You're right, mate. You're doing well.
Yeah, I guess one thing just with Birchall would be he has been a tad inconsistent this year with scores of 49, 61 and 62 over the course of the year. And it's interesting to note that those 260s came against Collingwood and Geelong. So it sort of suggests to me, I haven't looked a whole lot into this, but it could be that against the better opposition, he struggles a bit more. But looking forward to Hawthorn's remaining schedule, that shouldn't be a big problem with Freo, North, Port, Carlton, Dogs and Gold Coast, their remaining teams. So Carlton's the only really top four contender out of those lot. So, I'd say quite a few big games remaining.
Now, the next player we're going to look at is somebody that I passed on for another player we'll cover in a bit, but Faz has him and he's riding pretty happy at the moment. He's averaging 97 for the season, priced at 472,000. That's Greg Broughton from Fremantle, obviously buy free as well. Now, if we can read out his last few scores, 121, 114, 85, 54, 145, 122, 127, 105. He's moved to the midfield. For some reason, he's staying there and scoring very well. And this certainly looks like a very, very good option. Probably my pick after Fisher in terms of scoring potential for the rest of the year. As much as it pains me to say, because I did just pass up on him.
Yeah, that.
I agree with that, Marcus. His high scoring's definitely coincided with the move to the midfield. I think a lot of people expected him to move back into the back line, but it hasn't quite happened at this stage. I know Barlow played on the weekend and Broughton still played a lot of midfield time, so that is a good sign for his owners or people looking to pick him up. I think the only question mark that you'd have really on him, in the past he's had durability concerns, but he's only missed one game this year so far. But mainly the draw coming up, they've got the Hawks, the Saints, Carlton, North, Collingwood and the Bulldogs, which are pretty much every team that they're playing are finals contenders, and they've got three of the top four, so that looks like a pretty tough draw to me.
What I do want to say about Greg Broughton is that he does play well against the good players. Like in his first 2 years, Fremantle, you know, they haven't been the best side, and he still managed to average on 95. And in the last few games, like against West Coast, he did finish with 105, but up to the third quarter, which is pretty much when they weren't doing all too well up till then. If the fourth quarter was their major comeback, Broughton scored was the highest DT score and highest Supercoach score on the side up to then. I think he was on 90 Supercoach points at three-quarter time. So even if the team's not quite performing, Broughton still seems to rack it up. And I think Pavlich seems to be a bit down as well, which is obviously helping with Broughton playing in the midfield.
Yeah, just on that, with Broughton's midfield time increasing, his influx in scores in the last few weeks has just about translated perfectly with when Mundy went down with injury. There was the 54 the week after when he was playing on Sylvia, but after then, that's when that big run of scoring has come on, and I think Mundy's still a few weeks away at least from returning. I'd say it's unlikely that he'll play more than one or two games before the final series. So I'd say, Broughton's midfield time won't be dropping off anytime soon.
So what you're saying is that Mundy is still haunting my team, even though I've had to trade him out because of the injury.
I think he is, yeah.
Now, the guy I passed up Greg Broughton for is Shannon Hearn, who's unfortunately scored 46 and 83 in the last two rounds. Well, Broughton scored 127 and 105, but, you know, West Coast do have a really good run coming home. I remember last week we really pumped up Lacroix's tyres, and you should get Hearn for the exact same reason if you're short on cash. They have Bulldogs, Richmond, Melbourne, Essendon, Brisbane and Adelaide coming up, so that's a crazy good run of opposition. He is only averaging 85.5 so far this season. But we did see him have an absolute purple patch of form from about round 9 to 13, where I think he was kicking some awesome goals and scoring about 100 every single game. I do expect him to return to good scoring. He does have, I think, how many? Two, three games left at Subiaco as well, which is good for Supercoach scoring. So I do think Hearn is quite a good value pick at 372,000. How do you guys feel? Are you gone cold?
My concern is that there's a bit of a pattern with defenders, and that is they will go on really hot runs of form. Opposition teams will notice that and then put a lot of effort into them. And then they go on these lower patches. And it's something that's been going on for a few years in the fantasy world. And the AFL games, obviously, and Hearn seems to be suffering from that at the moment, that the opposition teams are probably putting a lot more attention into him because he's such a damaging player and they know how damaging his kicking is, but that still doesn't mean that he's not going to be able to get away from teams. Some of the teams like probably Richmond and Melbourne and Brisbane and Adelaide, he's probably going to, they're going to struggle to really shut him down, I think, in those games where West Coast should be winning reasonably comfortably.
Yeah, and I think the thing I like the most about Hearn is, as you mentioned, Marcus, he's West Coast have got a pretty cruisy run home, and you look back at his scores this year, and the season high was 140 in round 11 against none other than the Gold Coast Suns. So against poor opposition, he seems to score very highly. So, yeah, if you own him, hopefully he can get back to his that run of form where he was taking a lot of marks off opposition kicks when they were just bombing it in, and that, you know, played right into Hearn's hands. He's such a good user of the football as well. He's not going to give away many points with clangers or anything.
So I know our listeners like when we sum up stuff, because we do discuss players and sometimes we can leave it a bit open. But so if you were to rank the four players, how would that go? Mark, it's Fisher, Birchall, Broughton and Hearn.
For me, Fisher is a pretty obvious number one target. I'd probably then pretty much have him in the order that we've discussed, Birchall, Broughton, Hearn. I think Broughton could easily fit into that second spot, though. I think just his draw is probably keeping me away from him. Faz, what would you have, Matt?
Yeah, I'll back my boy Broughton. I got him in my team, so hopefully he keeps scoring well. But, you know, realistically, Fisher's probably the best option out of those guys. So, yeah, I'll go sort of Fisher, Broughton tied for first, then Birchall and Hearn to round it out.
And I'll go Fisher, Broughton, Birchall, Hearn as well. So those are your options for Chris Newman if you're thinking about trading out this week, which I think we strongly recommend if you still have trades remaining, because, you know,
how many trades do you need to do there, Marcus? Like, if you've only got one trade yet left, are you using it on Newman this week?
I would. If he's missing, you know, I'd say at least two. I'd say he could miss, you know, even three to four, like you were saying before. So if you're missing two, three, four out of the next five games, then you probably deserve the boot out of your team. But, you know, because next week, if a player goes down, he's only going to miss four. So missing two, three or four is already a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I think
if I've got one trade left, I keep him. If I've got two, I trade him.
Yeah, and it also, I guess, depends on whether league win is your big thing. I'd say if it is, then yeah, you see yourself as comfortably making the top eight, I'd be holding off on your trade until, you know, it actually comes to finals time, because you never know what could happen in the end, and that's what it's all about, is getting your best team on the park when it actually matters.
Now, we'll briefly talk about Wade Toomey, who's the only rookie on the bubble. He's named in the centre, 91.7K, and we've, of course, got our rookie expert Faz here, so why don't you take us through him?
Yeah, I don't actually know a whole lot about this guy. I've just brought his page up on the wiki here. He's a mature age recruit at 25 years old and was taken quite late in last year's draft at 51st pick. I guess, although he doesn't play much of a similar role, my concern would be that Carlton have a few names that look like coming back into the team in the next couple of weeks. I know that Jordan Russell hasn't been playing it, and probably the big one actually would be Andrew Corazza. I think that he was sort of like a possibility of returning against Essendon, which suggests that he should be back this week. So not all that sold on Toomey's job security. It's Toomey, isn't it, Mark? You said you don't pronounce a W, do you?
Yeah,
that's right, mate.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I was at the game on the weekend, so I didn't really hear the commentators talking about him.
Yeah, the one positive, I guess, would be he's sort of at the bargain basement price of $91,000. I'd say probably, though, a better option could be Ian Callinan, although he has been ruled out this week for Adelaide. I'd say his job security probably is a bit stronger for the remaining 6 weeks of the year.
And the MPP factor with Callinan is just such a great insurance that even if he doesn't play another game, you can move him around so much that you can sort of avoid that or avoid any consequences there. So, yeah, I'd probably suggest the same first.
Now, we're going to briefly touch on Ablett because his 19 is cycling out of his prize movement, unfortunately. So he is bottomed out. His break even's only 93. He's currently priced at 497,000, which is pretty much as good as it gets. He's averaging 122 despite having a 19 in his score average. So this is the time to pick him up. Having said that, Do be conscious of your trades, because it's not worth it at this stage of the season to be doing a luxury trade, because when an injury hits, it's going to hurt a lot more than what you gain from just having Ablett over another premium. But just mentioning
that he's gone without. Would you consider side-swapping a premium to Ablett? Like, say a premium that has a buy left, like a Bartel or Murphy or something like that. Would you consider trading one of them to Ablett just to side-swap?
Well, it depends what position you're in. I will have four trades and one premium on my bench. So I will be looking to do Bartel to Ablett. Once there, I'll have about 60K. So as soon as they get within 60K of each other, if they do, I'll be doing that trade. But that's only because I have four trades and a premium on the bench. Now, like, I'd probably say that if you had three trades, I wouldn't do it. You'd have to have four or more. And then obviously as the season progresses, you sort of can scale that down and you'll need less as the weeks progress. But I'd say unless you have four or more, I wouldn't be doing that personally.
Yep.
Now we'll move on to the forward line, where obviously a bit of carnage will hit this week. Richmond, Sydney, Brisbane all out, and Nick Riewoldt as well. So we're going to start off by looking at the more high-priced guys. So we'll start off with Cloak v. Fife v. Davis. And we'll start, of course, with most people's love child this year, Nathan Fife, second-year play, doing absolutely superbly, averaging 109.75, priced at 492,000 at the moment, and of course has that centre forward MPP. Even though he's had, you know, that shoulder niggle that's popped out a couple of times, I think it hasn't affected his performances whatsoever. Still scoring like an absolute gun, and he'd be my pick of the lot if you're looking at in terms of high scoring potential. Having said that, he is the highest priced. How do you guys feel about Fife, Cloak, and Davis?
Yeah, with Mark Williams going down this week, announcing his retirement, that is, from Essendon, I had a look back at what we had to give up to bring him to the club, and it was draft pick 16 we had at one stage, and traded that on to Port Adelaide, and it was had a look through that draft, and Nat Fife went at about pick 20, so it's really hurting seeing how well he's playing, and he looks like he's going to be an absolute star. I just love his hands. He seems to be able to just pluck the ball off the ground, sort of Jared Brennan style with one hand, but then doesn't sort of kick it like an idiot and sort of screw everything up like Brennan seems to do quite a bit. So yeah, I'd probably say that Fife is my pick of the lot as well.
Yeah, he has MPP going for him as well, which really does add you provide you a lot of flexibility. Again, a worry being a Fremantle player with their tough SOS. He's had three scores, or about four scores below 100 this year, and one was against the Saints and one was against Geelong. So sometimes he might suffer against the more difficult opposition. I remember in the preseason in the forums writing that I'm going to claim this guy, but stupidly never actually put him in my team. And then when it came time to do it, he was suffering from that shoulder operation or shoulder problems and dislocated shoulders every week. And I was playing basketball last night and one of my mates dislocated his shoulder in the game, and he's going to be in a sling for a couple of weeks and he can't work and he was in significant pain. So I'm not sure how he plays through it. He's a tough little guy, and if he's played through it this long, he'll probably just get surgery at the end of the year. So should be able to play out the season, and he's such a super powerful scorer in his second year.
Let's not forget Charles Cloak, who's also a good option if you already have Nathan Fife or don't have that slightly bit of extra cash. He's priced at $478,000. Averaging 99.69 for the year, but has had a significant run of good form since round 11. His lowest score in that time, 95, and highest return, 154. Absolute powerhouse of the competition, as much as it pains me to say. And I think he's playing Essendon this week, which have a slightly depleted backline, although they will be regaining Fletcher this week, so expect a pretty nice score there as well. I think his last, did captain's research on him today, last four scores against Essendon have delivered all 130+, so there's a guaranteed big score.
Wow.
For Travis Cloak this week, so perfect time to bring
him
in.
We have no pairs, no hooker this week at the Bombers, so... there's our key defenders. I guess Hurley's going to have to go back just because all our other key defenders are injured. Fletch might be back this week, but gee, if he's already tearing us apart when we've got our good players there, that's a little bit scary. Obviously, I can never recommend to pick the Kendall, but he is in pretty hot form.
And the last guy we're going to look at is another Collingwood player, Leon Davis, 459,000. So yet again, a tiny bit cheaper for those of you who might not have the cash. And we know at this stage of the season when side swapping, that might actually be an issue. So he is a good option still. He's averaging 93.64 for the year, but he did have poor scores at the start of the year, like a four in round three that really affected that. But don't let those scores fool you, because since round eight, his scores have been absolutely superb, a low of 87, and I think he's probably averaging about 110 over the next since round eight. So he's certainly been doing really well, and I suspect that he'll continue to average about 105 for the remainder of the season, which is pretty darn good. But obviously, I think Fife and Cloak, as long as they maintain their current form, should be able to beat him. But nonetheless, he's a very good option at his price.
Baz?
Not much to add, really. I'd just say the move of Mick Malthouse putting him into the back line has been probably one of the best coaching moves of this season, up along with Yaron doing a similar move to the back line. But Leon's sort of silky skills really, they come to the fore playing in the back line. You know, it's a lot harder to deliver a ball into the forward 50, especially if a team is flooded back with defenders, whereas coming out of the back line, there's usually at least one decent option, and you'd back Neon to hit that target just about every time.
One warning that I'd put out there is just that I would be very, very surprised if he was not either rested or made the sub in a game before the end of the year.
Yep. Having said all that, I would still have one very cheap player ahead of all those players if I was looking to pick up a forward this week, and that's Mark Lacroix. I honestly think he's going to go on an absolute run from here. We did talk about him last week, despite some poor scores, that he is an absolute machine, and he did prove us right with a 134. Like Mark said, both of us received the benefits of having him over Jack Riewoldt on the weekend, and I'll be looking for him to probably average anywhere between 100 and even 115, 120 for the remainder of the season. I do have that much confidence in him, and at 378,000, I think he's an absolute steal. So he's my number one pick, despite being significantly cheaper than the rest of those guys.
Yeah, I guess my one knock on Lacroix has always been that he seems to struggle a bit against the better oppositions.
He hasn't got any of them coming up.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, actually. But yeah, I think that's probably not even his fault, really. It seems to be more of a team role that he's forced to play as a deeper forward and doesn't get as much opportunity to push up the ground. But yeah, as you just covered there, Mark, no more tough opposition at all, really. There's not one team that West Coast play that are currently in the top eight. The Bulldogs are the only ones that look like being a realistic chance of even challenging for it. So yeah, I'd probably agree with Marcus that his scoring potential looks pretty excellent for the rest of the year. I don't know if I...
So you've given up the ghost on the Bombers there, mate.
Didn't look at that, but I'd say so. We've got Collingwood this week, and a couple more
and
tough.
Fire.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be tough for us to make the final eight from here on out. I don't know if I'd rate Lacroix's scoring potential above five. If money wasn't an issue, then I'd probably say five over him, but that's sort of a silly statement to make because money's always an issue. Even if you have the cash this week, it'd sort of be better, I reckon, to get Lacroix, keep that cash in the bank, because you never know who's going to go down at some point later in the season. That is, unless you're using your last trade, of course, then cash actually isn't an issue. But for everyone else, it's good just to have that extra cash handy in case, because players can go down early in a game. That significantly hurts their price, as we saw with Mundy a few weeks ago. He dropped significantly with his score of two or whatever it was.
People would have said that I was crazy last week. He was coming off 61, 71, and 68, and yet he was my number one target up forward. I thought everything pointed towards him just having a huge latter part to the year. Even the game against the Saints, he only scored 68, but it was 101 Dream Team. He had heaps of the ball and just had an off-kicking night, and I don't think Lecrae is really known for that. He's quite a skillful player, so and he didn't let us down at all against Fremantle. He scored 90 points in the second half after a reasonably slow start to the game. Kicked a couple of goals. He's definitely playing up the ground a little bit more. His marking's been really good. He looks like he's in really good form to me, and I expect him to dominate, although I am just with you, Faz, that I would be taking Fife ahead of Lecrae if money wasn't an issue. As much because of the MPP factor as anything, I think that just gives you that little bit more flexibility. But yeah, Lecrae would be right near the top of my list, although the fact that I have him, I don't want too many more people to pick him up.
Now, the last player I'm going to look at is just an extra little cheap option in case you already have Lecrae, and that's Colin Sylvia. And we have mentioned in the past that he does have a particularly good finals run, so that is something to keep in mind if you are trading for the league win. Of course, that's centre forward MPP, 385,000, averaging 97 for the year, and certainly a good option despite being a bit injury prone. He's on track to run out the season okay, so... yeah, that's
his performances have been a bit underwhelming since he got the corky against Essendon, with really his average significantly down on the, I think it was up to 107 at one stage, but he's really dropped since then. Did seem to play a little bit more midfield time in the last couple of weeks, so hopefully that's a sign of things to come. But they do have Geelong and Carlton before their draw gets a little bit easier.
Yeah, more of a finals pick than anything, but also a good value pick if you're running out of cash. So finally, we're just going to rank these boys again, not including Sylvia. So Fife, Cloak, Davis, Lecrae. I'll kick it off this time. I'm going to go Lecrae number one, as I said before. Despite thinking Fife will have a higher scoring potential, I think he's slightly riskier because of his draw. So I'm going to go Cloak 2, Fife 3, and then Davis 4.
For me, it is Fife 1, Lecrae 2, Kendall in third, and Davis in fourth. Mainly, I really like Davis as a super coach pick this year. If I didn't think that he'd get rested, I would think he would be a pretty solid pick. He's in ripping form at the moment.
Yeah, and I'm going to go exactly the same as you, Mark. Fife, Lecrae, Cloak, and Davis.
Awesome. So that wraps up this week's show. I certainly hoped it helped you out. And remember to head over back to the site and listen to next week's podcast again for hopefully an interview with Impromptu. So look forward to that. Thanks for the show, guys.
See you then.
I just want to give a shout out to the Australia Pro Post crew. Say hi to my mum for me.
Thanks, guys. Jump up, make it crazy. Jump up, make it crazy. Jump up, make it crazy. Jump up.